preparing for revival. James chapter 4 is what we'll be looking at, 7 through 10. James chapter 4, 7 through 10. And so we know that revival, again, as I said, is not something that we can plan. We can plan the meetings, but it's God that has to do a revival in each and every heart. And I'm telling you, if you'll seek that, if you'll look for that this week, you'll be revived. God will speak to you, and He'll use Cameron McGill as he comes up, and he'll be a mouthpiece as he preaches God's Word to you, and he'll touch our lives. My question is how have you prepared? You said maybe your calendar, you might have done that and set aside time, but what about our hearts? What about our souls? What about spending time with God and asking Him, what is it that He wants from us? What is it that He is going to do in our lives? And James is going to address this. James is a tough book. It can be very tough. Why? It's very practical, but the half-brother of Jesus, and you've heard me say this before, is how would you like to grow up with God? That was your older brother. Have you ever heard, why can't you be more like your brother? Wow. You could really say that, right, in James' household. He didn't receive Christ as his Lord till after the resurrection. He didn't receive Jesus. It'd be hard, your brother, to realize this person that grew up in your home was your Savior as well. And so we see that lived out in his book. He'll hammer in the first couple chapters about faith and what does faith do and how does it live out. And a lot of people say that I have faith, but he said it'll come out in your life. It'll come out. You'll be a doer of God's Word. You're not just be a hearer or a sayer, but you'll be a doer. You'll live it. It's being. You'll be a Christian. And he really hammers on that. And then he gets to three, and he starts saying, if you are this Christian, if you're living out this faith, there's going to be some things in your life, and one of them is going to be you're going to watch your mouth. Can anybody say amen? How hard? That's easy to say that, but how hard is that to do, huh? Wow, I tell you what, you can get on social media and see all kinds of good stuff, ain't it? Like social media can be a great thing, but it can be a terrible thing. People just dumping, unloading. You ever seen that? It's like, oh my goodness, please don't say that. Not on social media. A lot of people don't have to go to social media either, do they? We're all guilty. And he starts in 3 of talking about that untamable tongue. And so if we're people of faith, if we're God's children, then we're going to watch what we say. And then as he starts into chapter 4, he's going to start talking about the body of believers, God's children. And he says, where do fights come? Where does strife come? That you mean it? You mean people in church fight? Oh, no, not at South Fork. Truth is, I've said this many times, you're looking for a perfect church, you're not going to find it here. Why? I'm here, for one thing, very much thing. That's right. No perfect people. No perfect people, but there's ways. You know what? Me and this beautiful young woman right here. Notice I said young, honey. Cha-ching! As we've spent many, many years together, and sometimes we fight. I know, that's hard to believe. Sometimes we fight each other. We get in arguments. But you know what? We love each other, and a lot of times we'll just boil it down. Why are we even mad or arguing? And we apologize, and we go on. That's family life. Is that not what family's about? And so James is saying your strifes and these wars and the things come, it comes from your flesh. You want to be in control. You want things your way. Come on, we understand that. We won't think that he said it's not of the Lord. We should not. It's our pride that promotes this strife. It's who we are. And if we're not careful and we allow the Spirit of God dwells in us, but Paul said in Romans chapter 7, there's another spirit that dwells within me. It's the flesh that wars against the things of God. And so James gets to hearing that. So when we get into chapter verse 4 and 7 through 10, which we're going to look at this morning, and I hope you have God's Word and you put it in your hand, or whether it's electronically on a phone, on a tablet, or in the seat back in front of you might be a pew Bible, but take God's Word in your hand, open it at James chapter 4 and verses 7 through 10, and see that I'm preaching you from God's Word, not my opinion, not what you think that I'm trying to say, but what does God's Word say, and how important is that? stand to your feet to honor the reading of God's Word. James 4, 7 through 10, it says, "Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, God, touch our hearts with your word today. Prepare us for revival for your glory in Christ's name." And all God's people said, you may be seated. Preparing for revival. When we get to verse 7, we see that. He's saying, therefore. Why is it therefore? It's because he's saying this strife, this pride, these things, he's saying it's humility. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord. He finishes that. He gives more grace, he says, therefore. He says he resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. And then he says, therefore, and because of this, in preparing for revival, I want you to know something. Preparation requires submission and resistance. Look at verse 7. What does it say? Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee to you, flee from you. James gives us some actions when we're to do as we're preparing for revival. What is that? Well, we see the first word is submit. Submit. It's a military term. Look, it's to rank under. The submission, we're ranking under the Lord. Submit to God. Listen, how much is our life submitted to God? We read and we're going through James in our Sunday school lesson, and we had this last week, and I'm like, man, God, you're already giving me what I need to preach this Sunday morning and preparing for this revival that's to come, this submitting under. But he's talking about, listen, as we go on, submit under God, submit your life, make your plans with God, do everything unto him. Submit to him. We are afraid of that, aren't we? Why? We're afraid that he might tell us to do something that we don't want to do. Is that really submitted to God? James says, submit, rank under. Allow him to be your chief of staff. Allow him to be that which calls you and tells you what to do every day. Allow him to be in your life in every decision. Well, God's too busy for that. What a small God you serve. He's too busy. He wants to be in everything in your life. He wants to be a part of it. And James says, submit to him. Submit to this God. Choose to come under his authority. Arrange your life under his leadership. You want to have complete victory in Christ? Then it comes with this unconditional surrender. You want to have revival this week? You want to experience revival tonight? You want to experience a revival in your life? Submit. This unconditional surrender. Open your hands. Now listen, there are many of you strong-willed. There's many of you that want your way. And here's what you'll do. You'll say something will happen in your life. You'll get upset about it. And you'll say, well, this is God's wanting me to do this. And it ain't nothing but bad pizza many times. Okay, let's be honest. It's because of our selfishness. It's because of our pride. Because we don't have this and we don't have that, or I'm sacrificing for you, Lord, then God, this is what God wants me to do. That's not submitting under his life. In other words, you're cloaking what you're doing, saying it's God doing or God telling you to do it, and it's really what you're wanting. Come on. He says, submit. Don't let that happen. Rank under him. Surrender to him. Allow him to do in and through you what he had allow you, what he wants to do. James 10:39 says, "He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." That which you're looking for is found in him. Not in another relationship, not in another place, not in another career. It's found in him. Because he says, submit, but the next thing is resist. Look at this word, resist, to stand against, to oppose, resist the devil. Why, you say there ain't no such a thing as the devil, he's make-believe. If you're thinking that, you're already in trouble. Scripture says he's our adversary. He's really who is. We don't war against flesh and blood, our battles and strife. We're not warring against each other. He said, but we war against powers and principalities and rulers in high places. Satan has a strategy. You know what his strategy is? Listen closely. To steal, and destroy your life and your family life. Why are families struggling so desperately today? It's because Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And James is saying, resist. Yes, submit to God, but resist the devil. No middle ground, no neutral area. It's a drawing the line. It's time to draw the line in sin in our lives. I want you to know something. If revival's going to come, you're going to have to get honest with yourself. I want you to know this morning, and as your pastor, I love you, but you've got a lot of work to do on yourself, just like I do. And if we're complacent and we're just happy with right where we're at, something is wrong. You say, how can you say that? Because if we were at that place with God, then everything, listen, you couldn't open the door. You couldn't get another person in here because of what God's doing. We have to get honest with ourselves. You want revival? Get honest with God and yourself and say, Lord, there's areas in my life I need to grow in you. I need to grow in my walk in Christ. Are you Christ-like? Because that's the end means, that's what we're working towards, is to be more Christ-like. And James said one of the ways that we do that is we resist the devil. He uses our sin, our flesh against us, and he trips us up constantly. I'll be so glad when he gets thrown in the lake of fire forever and ever. I don't know about you. I'm tired of him coming into my life and using myself against me. I'm tired of myself. I want to have a life that's free from sin, and that comes when we're glorified unto the Lord. And I realize that's going to be my struggle, but I do not lay that down and say, oh, well, it won't matter. I say, Lord, help me. I'm struggling in these areas. And James says, we resist the devil. In other words, you can't blame it. The devil made me do it. I heard so many people, it gets on my nerves and say, hell, the devil just lit me up. Guess what? He can't do it unless you allow him to do it through you, okay? It's your choice. He can't do anything against your will. Aren't you glad of that? Resist the devil. Just like when Satan took Jesus out into the desert to tempt him. You remember what he used? He said, it is written. It is written. Every time the devil tried to tempt him, it is written. It is written. You know what it said? The devil had to leave him. He left him for a season. You have that same power. You say, what do you mean? It is written. The battle is won and lost right here in the mind. Can anybody say amen? Before sin ever takes place in your hand, it came through your mind. And it's won and lost right there. And if we'll take and we resist, if we submit to God, and that military term, we rank under him as our military, we resist the devil, and then we replace those thoughts with Scripture, oh my goodness, he has to flee. He has to flee. And that's what James is saying. Resist the devil. This is a pledge that the devil can be defeated. As powerful as he is, he can be defeated in your life. You hear that? He cannot hold anybody against their will. He can never lead us into a sin without our consent. Preparation for revival requires submission and resistance. But secondly, preparation's necessity is worship and purity. Look at verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so James is saying, hey, it's kind of like this idea, and you see it all through the Scripture, through Paul's epistles, and here at James, it's a putting on and a putting off. He says, put on what? The mindset of worship. When I say worship, a lot of people, we think, well, we just did that. We sing songs and we lift up our hands and all that is worship. But I want to tell you something, and you've heard me say it time and time again, and I'm not going to quit telling you, is your greatest act of worship 24/7, 365. When you step outside of this doors, you're worshiping by how you act and your actions and what you say and what you do. That is our reasonable act of worship. Romans 12:1. Our service unto the Lord. So he's saying this worship, how do we do that? We draw near. Draw near. That's that worship, that intimate fellowship, that communion with the living, eternal, almighty God. How much time, listen to me, how much time did you spend with Jesus before you came here this morning? Well, I was going to church. How in the world we expect to come here and spend time and worship him? How you should be worshiping before you ever get here. And then corporately we come together. You talk about power when we've been worshiping individually and we come together corporately to worship. Listen,
You're talking about God showing up. How much did we worship and prepare? How much are we prepared for the revival that's coming tonight? Like I said, besides checking off your calendar, and paying, which is great, that's just the bottom basic thing that we should do. But how much have we prayed and sought God and prayed for Cameron and prayed for our church and prayed for one another and prayed for our spiritual renewal? That's drawing near. Don't you want to draw near to God in Christ? Old Testament, it was a general expression of the sincerity or the approach to God in penance and humility. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors, he says, nearness is likeness. Nearness is likeness. David said in Psalms 145:18, the Lord is near to all those who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. If you want Him, He is there. The problem is not with Him. The problem is with us. We're so busy. We don't have time. Is that a priority in our life? We'll never be revived until it is. He has to be top priority. Yes, there's busy, but do you not like to think that Satan don't make us busy so that we cannot focus on the most important things? That's where revival comes on. So he's just putting on this drawing near, this mindset of worship. But also, listen, it's a taking off or a renouncing of sinful actions. When he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Hands are speaking of these outward deeds. When revival comes into our life, we will not be able to hold on to those actions that are in violation of God's Word. Is your life lining up with this? You say, well, Brother David, I'm not sure about that. If you're not sure about this, then I'm not sure you're a Christian. Do you hear me this morning? You cannot be a Christian and not be sure about this, God's Word. You cannot. Well, I don't know how I feel about this or I feel about that. I don't know where I fall on this certain thing. That. Listen, you don't worry about how you feel or how you fall. It's what does the Word of God say. Can anybody say amen? And if it crosses you up, then something's wrong with your life, not with the Word of God. Okay? And we all come under the umbrella of the authority of God's Word. And so James is saying, listen, it's that renouncing of sinful actions. Is there sin in your life? Is there sin in your life? You will never be revived until you deal with those actions. James is saying, take it off, these renouncing of sinful actions and cleansing your hands. And those hands, it speaks to those outward deeds. And then also look at taking off or a rejection of sinful attitudes. Purify your heart, you double-minded. This is a call to inward purity. Our heart is our inward life. They're not just our actions, but our attitudes. You mean to tell me that you can have a bad attitude to be sinning? You better believe it. Our attitude really reveals what's in our heart, does it not? It's out of the abundance of the heart my mouth speaks, is what the Scripture says. I'm going to tell you, sometimes what's in my heart must be pretty bad. You get my drift? Oh, I just let it go really quickly. I just blow off real quick and then it's over with. That sounds like a shotgun to me and does a lot of damage. A lot of damage. We've got to be careful with our actions and our attitudes. And then he says it's double-minded. He talks about purify your heart, you double-minded. What are we double-minded about? Our loyalties. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Our loyalties to God and the world. Now, come on. Who are we loyal to? Who are we looking like? Are we lining up with God's Word? Or are we lining up with what the world says is right? That's a double-minded person. If you're not careful, you want to have one foot in here and one foot over there. And that's not much of a person. That's a double-minded person that James is saying. He's saying, you want revival? Put these actions off. Get rid of the double-mindedness. Cleansing and purification were a part of the Old Testament worship at all times. In fact, Psalms 24 says, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can approach His holy place? He with clean hands and a pure heart. Is our hands clean and our actions clean? Is our heart pure before the Lord? Because I want to ask, how's your purity? How's your purity? The power do with the purity of your walk. Let me say that again. The power of your life has to do with the purity of your walk. I can tell when I haven't been as pure as I need to be when I step into this pulpit. You hear me? You should be able to tell when your purity's off. You say, well, what do you mean? Don't get me wrong. I am not talking about legalism, but I'm saying what's going in. What am I watching? What am I listening to? What am I allowing to make a difference in my life? That comes through purity. That comes through me having a, here it is, I have this screen that I run through the Word of God, and when it doesn't line up here, I should realize that this is not of God. God's people, we let down, here's what we do. We lower the standard so much that even a snake can crawl under it. It should be set so high. Our standard should be so high. We become like the world instead of like what Christ has called us to be. And James is saying, don't do that. Preparation requires submission and resistance. And its necessity is worship and purity. But look, lastly, preparation calls for brokenness and humility. Verses 9 through 10. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. So James is now turning to our reaction to sin. And one of the first things we see there is brokenness. He's talked about misery. When was the last time that you wept over your sin? Your sin. When was the last time that you came before God with this brokenness? And He says, lament this repentance, grieving over the sin in our own life. When was the last time that you mourned over sin, period? You see, it's this action when we understand sin and what it is. And it causes us to grieve. Why? It grieves the heart of God. It grieves the Holy Spirit. And it carries with this idea of being broken and feeling wretched because of our circumstances. Just like the publican when he was beating his breast there. When the Pharisee was standing there saying, I'm so glad, God, I fast and I'm not like this publican over here. And the publican just comes in Luke and he beats his chest. He says, God, forgive me, a sinner. He said, this sorrow, this mourn and weep. He goes on, not only do we have brokenness, but we have sorrow. We're contrite. Blessed, Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I like Francis Fuller said this, the reason why we're not sorrowful. This is the reason why we naturally love and think well of ourselves. Hide our deformities, lessen and excuse our faults, indulge ourselves in the things that please us. Does that not make sense? Listen, if the world says, you've got to love yourself before you love anybody. Show me that scripture verse. That's garbage. I'm going to love Christ. You don't have any problem loving yourself, okay? We should hate sin. We should hate the sin that's within us, that so easily besets us. We should love Christ enough that makes a difference in our life, every area, everything. We see these tears and this seriousness. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Refrain from this frivolous, flippant attitude towards sin. The truth is, God will forgive me. He'll forgive me. So we just go ahead and do that. Is that really being Christ-like? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't do that? Because He could have never been our Savior. And He calls us, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness is a separation. Listen, we're losing our holiness in our churches, in our Christian walk. We are to be separated, not from the world that we don't love them and reach them, but separated from the influence of the world, that we look like the world and act like the world. As James says, be serious. And then he says, he talks about this humility. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. The way up is down. The way up is down. Humbling ourselves before an almighty God. And God rewards humility. That's what He says here. In the sight of the Lord, humility must be genuine. We can submit outwardly, but be full of pride inwardly. Humble yourselves is to make low, a lowering of ourselves and a raising up of the Lord, our Savior. We know this verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is when the temple is being dedicated. And I want
want you to know we take it a lot of times out of context and say this is for the church, but this was the promise to God's people because of rain and locusts and all those things. But let me tell you, the application as well. It wasn't spoken to the church. It was spoken to the Israelites about their land, hill and rain and locusts. But you can apply this to our life when it comes to where we are spiritually. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. What an application that we can use. If we'll just turn to God, if we'll admit that we struggle with sin, if we just are humble before God, you know what he says? I'll lift you up. I'll lift you up. Revival, and preparing for revival, comes through us being honest before a holy God and letting him know you need it, not somebody else. Oh, I sure hope so-and-so comes. How about yourself? Put yourself there in that place. And as Lee said, I challenge you to be. The first thing we can do is come and just be here to listen to God's word as God's people. This man's coming up from Whiteville Lake, that in White Lake area, coming up to preach. He feel like God has led him, and we should listen to what God has to say through him. Well, what about this? What about that? Put your ball schedule and everything on. They can wait for a couple days, okay? What are your priorities? One of these days when your kids grow up and they don't go to church, you're going to say, I don't understand. You taught them everything else was more important. It's going to be your fault, so you're not going to be able to blame anything else, okay? I'm just being as honest as I can this morning. I love you. That's where we're at. We want revival, but we don't want the cost of what it costs. We got to get serious with the Lord. Application, and we're done. Linda, come and play. Are you submitting to God and resisting the devil? Are you submitting? Are you ranking under his leadership or everything in your life, or are you just trying to plan it all out for yourself? Are you resisting Satan when he comes? Have you learned your adversary and how he tempts you in your soft places? Do you resist him? Says he'll flee from you. Number two, how's your purity? How's your purity? What are you watching? What are you looking at? What are you listening to? Think it doesn't make a difference? It does. Number three, when was the last time you wept over your sinfulness? Let's stand to our feet. Close your eyes before the Lord for just a moment. What's God saying to you? Listen, if you're here and you don't have a relationship with the Almighty Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, you know it right now because your life plays it out. You're living in sin and you need Christ. If you need a Savior, this time's for you. Come forward, receive Christ before it's eternally too late. As God spoke to you about something in your life as you're preparing for revival, that you know it's out of play, come and just lay it down. Say, hey, Lord, I'm serious about this. I want you to revive my heart. What's he saying to you? The altar's open. So I'm here praying. What about you? You going to go home? Be serious with God. He'll be serious with you. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. People are coming. How about you? What about you? What's the Lord saying? Will Terry, you need to do tight business with God. Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain that I know. Nothing.
but the blood of Jesus. Well, looky here who we have up here. Wayne and Suzanne Randall have come and they desire to be a part of our church, join this church. Wayne will be coming by letter. Suzanne's come by statement. She's come from Moravian Church, so she'll be coming by statement. What is the pleasure of the church that we receive these into our fellowship? Amen. Well, you guys go back and we'll give you the right hand of fellowship here. Listen, if you guys are thinking about joining anybody else, some of you have been coming, Lord laid it on your heart, just see me. I always talk and make sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ first. Why do I do that? That is what I should do as your pastor, that we make sure everybody knows the Lord Jesus. But then to join us, what a great opportunity to serve. And we're looking forward to see what Wayne and Suzanne, the Lord does through them. So, Lee, come back tonight. Listen, revival. Be praying. Ask God to do a work in your heart. Set aside that time unto Him and ask Him to say, Lord, I'm coming in obedience. Whatever you want from me, I'm saying yes. And He'll show you. Close the